Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma, Ayin Hey. We're on Ayin Dal in the Beis. We're finishing up the discussion from yesterday's daf, obviously. We got into a discussion of Inui and the definition of Inui, so we're going to finish off that discussion today and begin this morning's daf. Again, deeply appreciate the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The learning that we do is Zecher Nishma, Slow is Zalfman Lupin. The Gemara that we're finishing up from yesterday is an attempt to try to define Inui. So we need to define Inui because the Torah says on Yom Kippur, v'nisam esnaf shasechem, that we have a requirement in Yom Kippur, we have to afflict ourselves. So we have to make ourselves uncomfortable on Yom Kippur. So what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara suggested yesterday, maybe it means go out into the hot weather, maybe it means go out into the cold weather, like make yourself really uncomfortable. The Gemara says no. It's not that, because we also know that there's a connection between Inui and Malacha. And just like Malacha is a passive, passive activity. That's, you know, ironic. But in other words, it's passive, it's not active. Every Malacha, by definition, is a cessation. I have to stop doing something. So the same thing is true regarding Inui. Inui just simply means that I have to withhold something from myself, and by that means, are we going to entertain the idea of affliction? So the Gemara says it comes down to eating and drinking. By withholding food, so it's going to be uncomfortable. That's the Inui as described by Yom Kippur. As we made the point yesterday, but I just want to reiterate, the Gemara really is going to be focusing on eating and drinking, meaning there are a number of Inuim, there are a number of afflictions that the Mishnah referred to. And eating and drinking just being one of them or two of them, depending on how you want to count it. Excuse me, but there's also Rechitza, Sicha, Nila, Sasando, Tashme, Shamita. There are other Inuim. So as Tosfos Yeshanim pointed out yesterday, right, not agreed to by everybody, but those are simply Inui derabbanan. Those are add-on Inuim that the Chachamim added on, but the Inuim in the Torah is the withholding of food and drink. That's the Tosfos Yeshanim yesterday, which we pointed out. Okay, so how do I know that Inui means withholding food and drink? So the Gemara gave one suggestion yesterday. Let's give another suggestion today. So we are on Ayin Dal Amud Beis. We're finishing up from yesterday's daf. Tana Rabbanan, right? Tanya Idach, right? Okay, good. Tanya Idach. We did the first brisa yesterday. Okay, next brisa. Okay, Tanya Idach Ayin Dal Amud Beis. That's about 15 lines from the bottom, from the top of the Amud. Tanu es nafsho sechem. So the Torah says you have to afflict yourselves. Yachol yeshu b'chama v'tzina v'yitzta'er. So I might have thought that means I have to sit in the hot and the cold and become uncomfortable. Tamalama v'chol malacha lo sasu. Chol malacha davar shechayev malav b'makom acher. Af inui nefesh shechayev malav b'makom acher. So just like malacha has a parallel prohibition, so to inui has to have a parallel prohibition. Meaning that we know what the definition of malacha is. Malacha is malacha. Meaning, that's very smart. Meaning that go to the 39 malachas of Shabbos. We have a parallel. So Inui also has to have a parallel. Meaning there must be somewhere else in the Torah where the Torah describes Inui as being prohibited. Ve'ezezeh. And what's an example of that? Zeh pigel v'nosar. So that is the consumption of pigel nosar. Pigel nosar disqualified karbanos. Pigel, the Kohen had a machshava ra, he had a bad machshava. Nosar, the carbon was just simply left over, it's a lot of time. So if I eat either one of those, that is a iser, it's a prohibition in the Torah, and kares. Right, it's one of the 36. It's one of the 36 Yisurim in the Torah where one gets kares. So what the Gemara now is arguing is, so you see that you eat certain foods and you're subject to kares. So that Inui, which is mentioned in Yom Kippur, same thing. You eat certain foods. Now, right now I'm going to say certain. You know where we're going to conclude. Right? On Yom Kippur, it's going to be any foods. But we're going to get to that point. If you eat certain foods, you're going to be subject to a violation of Inisim Esnaf Shoseichem. So the Gemara now wonders, okay, Pigel Nosar, fine. Those are foods which are forbidden. And not only forbidden foods, but you're going to get kares if you eat them. So Avin, Pigel Nosar, Shein Bekares, Volo Avis, Tevel, Shein Bekares. So what about Tevel? Tevel is a prohibition to eat. Tevel is food that you do not separate from Shumos Maestros. You're prohibited from eating Tevel. But it's not kares, it's misa b'dei shamayim. It's one level below kares. So tamalama ta'anu v'nisa masnaf shosechem riba. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Torah uses the word inui in multiple usages. So therefore, it's a ribui. It comes to include even tevel, even though tevel is not nisr karis. Avi a tevel shuv b'misa v'lo avi a nevela sheina b'misa. Okay, what about nevela? Nevela is prohibited, but it's not karis. It's not misa b'dei shamayim. Nevela is only malchus. In the context of this discussion, I say only malchus. Right? It's only malchus. It's only a lav. So tamalomer na tanu v'ni semas nafsho sechem riba. And again, the multiple use of inui in the Torah tells us that it includes even nevela. Avis and nevela shu balav lo avis achulin sheina balav. Okay. Now you see what we're doing now. We just keep going down. So now, good. So we covered karis. We covered misa b'dei shamayim. We covered a lav. How about a food that is not prohibited? Maybe that's okay in Yom Kippur. Okay, so again, the multiple inui usages. Okay, what about truma? Truma is one better than chulin in this context. Why? Because truma we're required to eat. Meaning, right, you see what we're doing now in the spectrum? Foods that I'm not allowed to eat, kares, misa bidei shamayim, lav, neutral foods, that's chulin. And now we're on the other end of the spectrum, truma. I'm obligated to eat truma. Maybe what the Gemara is entertaining is that in Yom Kippur, truma is okay because I'm obligated to eat it. And again, you know where the conclusion is going to be. V'lo avi etzat truma, she become a chol. Tamalomer tanu v'ni semestam shor sechem riba. Again, the multiple inui. Avi etzat truma shehen bebalto siru v'lo avi etzat kachim shehen bebalto siru. Or what about carbon? Not only is there an obligation to eat carbon, no leftovers. Not allowed to leave anything left over from the carbon. So okay. So that is all one approach, right? There was a long run-on sentence, but basically, food. Food is prohibited on Yom Kippur. That's the definition of inui. Why? Because the Torah says we have to find another place in Torah where inui refers to an isser. And we have it by food. Now, what about those foods that are not subject to Isser? And what about foods which actually you're obligated to eat? So the ribui, the multiple usage of the word inui. Yeah, the same pasuk over and over again just simply means multiple. In other words, there's multiple usages, so therefore we're going to widen our definition of which foods we're talking about to the point where it basically turns into all foods. Now, Inov Shechlamar, the Gemara says, now, you want to say this, you could say another pshat. Meaning, how do I know that Inui refers to not eating food on Yom Kippur? So, Harei Omer, Va'avadet Yitzah Nefesh Ahi, Inui Shu Avet Yitzah Nefesh. The Torah describes the person who eats on Yom Kippur, Va'avadet Yitzah Nefesh. Literally, he will lose his soul. The Gemara is taking this pasuk a little bit out of context, but basically, Ibur HaNefesh, something which diminishes you. What diminishes you? Not eating. Not drinking. Okay. Adkan, that's the end of the braisa. That was the Tanya Idach from beginning to end. And now the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. In this braisa, there were two separate arguments that were given. There was the multiple usage of inui v'inisem, which got us to the point of not only foods that are asr b'kares, but foods that are even mutter to eat, and foods that are a mitzvah to eat. And then the other argument of avadat yetzer nefesh. Why did the Braisa give us two separate arguments? The Gemara says, because if I went with the first approach of the Braisa, you could have arrived at a very different conclusion. Because what was the first approach of the Braisa? You know what inui is? Something which the Torah prohibits elsewhere. Oh. Well, the Torah prohibits arayos, illicit relations. Oh, maybe what's prohibited on Yom Kippur is illicit relations. And basically then we're going to end up saying all forms of relations. That's what I might have thought if I went with the first approach. The second approach is clear that ibur hanefesh, diminishment of the body, is diminishment of nourishment, which means a lack of food. So the second approach brings us to food and only food. Only food really fits and qualifies in terms of the second approach. The first approach, you could have gone with arayos. Again, we'll go back to the point that we made yesterday, but it's clear from the Gemara that what the Gemara here is clearly doing is rejecting arayos, meaning arayos is not one of the inuyim. What do you mean arayos is not one of the inuyim? Relations is not one of the inuyim. It certainly is. So again, we'll say like we said yesterday, again, according to the Tosfos Yeshanim, that it's a inui, but midrabbanan, not min haTorah. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana Nemar Kan Inui V'Nemar Lahalan Inui Man Inui Ra'avon Afkan Inui Ra'avon. So the Gemara says another approach. This was taught by the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael. We find the usage of inui in a couple places in the Torah. So it says later on, the Gemara doesn't specify. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi does specify. Vayancha vayarivecha. Right, you were hungry and you were afflicted. And then the pasuk goes on to say, v'achilcha saman. And I fed you the man. But it's clear that inui in that context means we didn't eat. So now we'll go back to Yom Kippur. What does the Torah mean when it says, V'inisim es nafsho sechem? It means we're not allowed to eat. V'nelev mi'im ta'nes b'nosai. So the Gemara says, okay, but there are other inuis in the Torah. For example, we go to Lavan and Yaakov, where Lavan says to Yaakov, don't you dare be ma'ana my daughters. Now, what in the context of what that means is, you must make sure to have marital relations with my daughter. Okay, I know an uncomfortable discussion to have between father-in-law and son-in-law, but basically it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on the husband. So imtanez ben osai. So in that inui clearly is referring to marital relations. So danim inui derabim inui derabim in danim inui derabim inui diachid. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that was a personal conversation between Lavan and Yaakov. So the Gemara says, if we're making a limud, we should go with national to national, which is what's described in Dvarim Perek Ches. National hunger. We're all familiar with this drush. This drush is brought down in the Haggadah. The Torah says in Parshas Kisavo, Vayar Sanyeno, Kadosh Baruch Hu saw our affliction. And that's a reference to what? Precious Derech Eretz. The fact that that husband and wife could not have marital relations. So the Gemara says, so you see that inu is a reference to marital relations. So the Gemara says, El adanim inu bidei shamayim, inu bidei shamayim, vein danim inu bidei shamayim, inu bidei adam. So the Gemara says again, given the choice, I would go with Parshas Ekev, Dvarim Periches. Why? Because there, it's bidei shamayim. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us to the desert. HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld food from us. The precious Derech Eretz mentioned that the Mitzvah did to us, so that's man-made. That's not Bidei Shamayim. Okay. Okay, good. And now I say good, and in other words, I'm going to pause now. That's it. That's the end of the Gemara's discussion in terms of Inui on Yom Kippur as being a reference to Achila and Shtia, as opposed to anything else. That's the definition of inui. Gemara gave us, so in just in quick summary, the Gemara gave us a lot of sources in terms of how we know this is so. Either it's based on the multiple use of the word inui, it's based on avadati asanefesh, something that diminishes the body, it's based on something which, v'yancha v'yarivecha. Okay. Different allusions in the Torah to how we know that inui on Yom Kippur turns into basically not eating and not drinking. The Gemara now is going to segue. We did touch on the fact that we were hungry in the desert and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us man. And so now for the rest of today's daf, which we haven't even started yet, today's daf is Ayin Hey, we're going to be discussing the man. And not only are we going to be discussing in today's daf, comes up in tomorrow's daf as well. Gemara will have now nearly a two daf discussion on the topic of man. Okay, we saw recently in the Gemara that they had a sinsenes haman, they had a jar of man. Meaning you're not going to believe this, but we went through the desert through 40 years and food descended from heaven and Moshe instructed the Jewish people, you know what? Put it in a glass and keep it for posterity. Not posterity, that's not the right word, but make sure that you remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us man in the Midbar for 40 years. And then who hid it? Who took the Tzentzenes Haman and put it into Geniza and hid it? So Yoshiyahu HaMelech did. Okay, for the Gemara said, how do you arrive at that conclusion? The Gemara said, if I remember correctly, it was Gzeirah Shavah. Anyway, okay, I digress. But the Gemara digresses. The Gemara now is going to take us on to a discussion of man. If you want to, maybe this will help you remember. I don't know why my head goes in certain directions, but today's daf is Ayin Hey, that's 75. So the man came overnight, right, and was delivered basically in the morning, to some of us at our doorstep. So that means that the man came at night, Laila. Right, has my math. Laila is gematria 75. Okay, so that'll help you. It'll help you remember today's daf. That today's daf is is 75. But just a remez. It's gematria. Some of you may like it. Others may not. Okay, we begin. So we start off with the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us man in the desert so that he can afflict us. Now, hold on one second. Meaning, it's the fact that we were afflicted that we got man. So it's a little bit troubling. It's a little bit difficult. The pasuk makes it sound like, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and I gave you man, and I afflicted you with the man. Well, what affliction are you talking about? It's just the opposite. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yasi chanamar einu doma misha ishlo pas besalo v'misha ein lo pas besalo. So the Gemara, one conclusion the Gemara draws is the following. Bread in the basket. It's a term that the Gemara uses every now and then. The Rishonim use this term also to describe different scenarios. But bread in the basket basically means security. Okay, what's better in life in terms of getting rid of anxiety than having security? Right? It's what causes all of us to get insurance. Meaning it gives us peace of mind, it gives us security. Now the man was not security, just the opposite. The man created anxiety and insecurity. Because here's what happened. Man came down every day, but just for today. We didn't have a fridge, we didn't have a cupboard, we didn't have a cabinet. So by the end of the day, so we ate, but we had no idea what was happening tomorrow. Okay, so there was no savings account. And that created insecurity. And so one conclusion the Gemara says, what does it mean that the man was afflicting? Yes, in other words, it provided us food every day, but we didn't know what was going to happen the next day. Really, really taught us emunah. So the Gemara says, now another conclusion the Gemara draws is the following. Yeah, the man tasted whatever he wanted to taste like. Now I know you know that, and I know that. The Gemara hasn't said that yet. But it's coming. But when all said and done, what did it look like? Looked like the same thing. So in other words, you wanted to inject whatever taste you wanted to, but, and you'll speak to any chef and they'll tell you presentation is very important. And the Gemara says it. And you don't need a chef to come here and say it. The Gemara says presentation is really important. You need to see what you're eating. Part of the eating pleasure and process is visual. And you need to see it. And if you don't see it, So the Gemara says that's the inui of man that we didn't see what we're eating. I'm Rav Yosef mikan remez l'sumen she'ochlem ein tzvein. Rav Yosef says, and it's no coincidence that Rav Yosef, who was the blind Amora, there was another blind Amora also, Rav Sheshes, but Rav Yosef was a blind Amora, and he says, you know, we learn from here. It's fascinating. Meaning, Rav Yosef could just say it based on his own life experience, but mikan remez. But here also you learn. I mean, he's also speaking from life experience. He knows that when you're blind and you eat, so you're never really full. Why? Because again, you don't see what you're eating. So, and the visual is part of an important part of the eating process. So you have a big meal, so you should eat it during the day. In other words, you should see what you're eating. Don't eat at night. You can't see what you're eating. Eat during the day. What about at night by fire or by light? It's coming up later on in today's daf. We'll get to it, hopefully. I'm Rabbi Zera Mikra, Tov Marinaim Mahalach Nefesh. So, the Tov Marinaim is something which is beholden to the eye, Mahalach Nefesh, then the actual body. I'm Rish Lakish, Tov Marinaim Beisha, Yosek Miguf Shamaisa. That the appearance of a woman is more pleasurable than the actual act itself. Shenemer Tov Marinaim Mahalach Nefesh. So again, the Gemara here speaks in another context, but the importance of the visual, the significance of the visual. Okay, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, and again, we're a little bit off the man. We're going to come back to the topic of man, but as long as we were quoting Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi, so the Gemara quotes another set of drushas by Rabbi Amin Rav Asi based on a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says that if you put your eye to the cup, and cup here means, of course, wine, so you're going to walk in Meisharim. Meisharim means straights, plains. So the one understanding of the Gemara Tapavayin Hayamad Aleph is that if you get drunk, if you get intoxicated, and you like getting drunk, so Arayas, the Isar of Arayas will be like plains, meaning you will basically, everything will seem on a level playing field, and the Yisra of Arayas will not be a big deal to you, and you'll violate the Yisra of Arayas if you continuously get drunk. So another understanding is that if you fix your eyes on the cup, So other people's money will seem totally open and acceptable to you. So the Gemara here speaks about the ills of drinking. The Gemara quoted the Pasuk in Mishlei. So let's quote another Pasuk in Mishlei. Let's get another interpretation of Rabbi Amin Rav Asi. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, Daga b'leiv, if you have anxiety of the heart, so yishichena, or yisichena. What does that mean? Rabbi Amin Rav Asi charama yisichena midato. So one understanding is, okay, put aside the anxiety. Okay, just forget about it. Move on. Some of us it's easy, some of us not, but that's one suggestion. And then the other understanding of the pasuk is that if you have a lot of anxiety, so speak it out with somebody else. Speak it out with somebody else. Now the Gemara over here, Rashi over here, I dare say he's not a psychologist, and I want to support that thesis with the comment that he makes over here. Rashi says, Yisichenu la'acherim, talk to others, and you look at the three words of Rashi, Shema yasiyehu eitza, and he'll give you some good advice. Meaning, Rashi's such a pragmatist. Rashi just simply says, yeah, you have problems, you have anxiety, you'll talk to somebody, and he'll give you a good piece of advice. Okay. V'nachash afar lachmo. Okay, more Rabbi Amin Rav Asi. The pasuk in Yishayahu says that the snake afar lachma. What's his bread? His bread is dirt. It's the dust of the ground. Rabbi Amin Rav Asi charama afilo ochel kol bane olam tom bahem tam afar. Whatever the snakes eat doesn't matter, right? Snakes are on rabid diets, or right. We just went to the zoo yesterday. Fine. So they, in other words, they eat whatever they eat. It all tastes the same to them. It all tastes like dirt and dust. That's part of the klala of the nachash. Chanamar afilo ochel kol madne olam ein datom yusheves alav ashi ochel afar. They can eat whatever they want to eat, but they're not really happy or satisfied until they eat dirt. Again, different understandings of what exactly the klala of the nachash was. Tanya amar Rabbi Yossi borei shalom kimira kosh baruchu mita basav adam. Hashem and people are different. And the Gemara makes this point often, and here the Gemara makes it in this context. Midas basav adam maknit es chaveiro yoredi molech chayav. When one person has upset another person to the point where he wants to ruin the other person, so he will do so. And he will ruin the other person. Meaning he'll curse the other person, and if angered enough, just basically ruin him. That's human behavior. Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu ain't okay, but that's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kilas anachash. So he curses a snake. And meanwhile, in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger, and he's cursing the snake, but now the snake can eat wherever he wants. Because the food of the snake is going to be the dirt. Ola lagag mazonos avimo. Yored lamata mazonos avimo. The snake goes wherever he wants and eats. So this is the curse, quote unquote, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, he's angry. Yes, he's mad with the snake. But when all said and done, the curse is not such a bad curse. He's not ruining the snake. It's tempered. Kilos Kanan. Now he curses Kanan. Kanan who debases his father and does terrible things to his father. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Kanan a klala. And the klala was is that you and your descendants are going to be slaves. Now again, what the Gemara's point is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's curse is not, he's not ruining Kanan. The Gemara says, Ocha Masharabo, Ocha Veshosa Masharabo, Shosa. Because on one hand he's going to be a slave, on the other hand he will be taken care of. He will be provided for by his master. Kila Asa Isha. He curses a woman. A woman has to go through Nida. And so, again, HaKol Ratzin Achareha. But meanwhile, everyone runs after the woman. So again, it's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's curse. It's modified. It's tempered. It's not bad. Kilas Adama. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu curses the ground. HaKol Nizonin Heimenu. Meanwhile, we all get our sustenance from the ground. Okay. Zechanu Asdagar Shanocham B'Mitzrayim Chinam. The Gemara now goes back to the discussion of the man, and we are in Parshas Baaloscha. For the most of today, we're going to be in Parshas Baaloscha, as there, we go through a period in the desert where we're sick of the man, we complain about the man, and so we complain. And the Slav comes down, and I'm sure we're all familiar with the incident. Okay, Parshas Baaloscha, Perek Yud Aleph. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quoting from the Psukim, Zechanu Sadag Shenachal B'Mitzrayim Chinam. We remember the free fish we had in Mitzrayim. So Rav Shmuel, so we have a basic machlokus between Rav and Shmuel in terms of what is the Pasuk talking about? Fish? Is fish meant literally or is it a euphemism? A classic debate that occurs time and again throughout the Gemara. Chanamar dagim v'chanamar arayos. So one says literal and the other says no, it's a euphemism. It means relations. In this context, illicit relations. Mandamar dagim dechsev nochal. Now on one hand, the literal translation is supported by the fact that the Torah says nochal that we ate. Mandamar arayos dechsev chinam. And the one that says it's referring to arayos because it says chinam. We had it for free. Now, fish is not for free. But arayos, one can engage in arayos, and it could do so chinam. Aman damar arayos aksiv nochal. Now, according to the one who says that's a euphemism, it's talking about arayos. What do you do with the pasuk nochal? What do you mean, what do you do with the pasuk? Lishna ma'alya nakat. It is the Torah speaking in clean language. The Torah speaks in euphemism, because the Torah does not want to speak in a distorted, immoral fashion. Dechziv in the Gemara says, and we'll go back to Mishlei again today. Achlau machtapia v'amar lo palti aven. Regarding the woman who is a minna efes, who commits adultery. So achlau, she eats, or machtapia, she wipes her mouth. These are euphemisms, speaking about her act of adultery. And lo palti aven, she says, I didn't do anything wrong. So you see that the word achlau is used in Tanakh euphemistically. Now, if you say that it's not euphemism and the Torah means literally the fish in Egypt was great, what does the word free mean? So the Gemara says no, it was free. It literally was free. They didn't pay for it. Meaning they got the fish from Hefker. It was ownerless. When we drew water, so fish came up in the barrel as well. So we had fish and it was Hefker. In other words, basically, we went fishing. And that's how we got the fish. So now if you understand the pasuk literally and not a euphemism for arayos, so then you understand the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The pasuk says, the Torah, the Navi in Shir Hashirim says that we were locked. We were pure. We didn't engage in arayos. Elamanda marais my mind chasum. So the Gemara says yes. So, but if you understand that we're speaking euphemistically and that we did behave in illicit manner in Egypt, so what do you do with the pasuk in Shir Hashirim? Mehanach the asirin lo preach the behu. So the Gemara says, well, we were pure in Egypt in the sense that from a Ben Noach standpoint we were good. Now one of the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach is arayos. But from our perspective, it's really modified, meaning that if I remember correctly, only four arayos that are prohibited, of which one of them is bestiality and the other one is mishkav zachor. So that means then that it's adultery, and the fourth, I think, is mother daughter, one of those two. That's it. Meaning those are the only arayos that are aser ben noach. And then what do we have? We meaning the Jewish people with the Torah. We have Parshas Achrimos and we have Kedoshim. So we have a whole additional list of women that are usher to us. So the Gemara says that in what the Pasuk and Shir Hashirim means, from a Ben Noach standpoint, we were fine. But from a future, the Torah is going to be given to us, Parshas Achrimos and Parshas Kedoshim, we were not fine. That's how you understand it. Now let's go back to the euphemistic pshat where it's talking about arayos. I then understand how they were crying lemishpechosav. What does that mean? Aliskei mishpechosav. Shenasru lehem lishkav etzlam. I mean, what family matters bother them so much? The fact that after the Torah was given, so family members then became prohibited. But if what they were complaining about was actual fish, not euphemistically, but they meant literally fish, so what's the lemishpachosav? So the Gemara's answer is havaha, havai. No, both were true. Meaning they were complaining about the actual fish, and there was also an arayos complaint in there as well. Esa kishuim v'savatichim. Once again, we go back to Parshas Baloscha. And what bothered us? Cucumbers and watermelon. Okay, we don't know if that's the actual translation, but using modern Hebrew to help me translate. Maybe right. Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi chana mar tam kol aminim tamo b'man. Tam chamesh taminim alalu tamo bo. So you could taste whatever you want in the man, but not these foods. Why not? What's wrong with these foods? Rashi points out. Take a look at Rashi in the right hand column. Shehin kashim leubaros amenikos kedamrina besifrei. Mashal amr lisha lo talchana betzel mimnei atinok. Okay, these are not good for neither pregnant nor nursing women, which then of course makes it difficult. Cucumbers and watermelon don't seem to be adverse. So you could say either my definition is wrong in terms of what these foods are, or you could say nature has changed. Okay, you could say all that. Chanamar tam kol aminim tamo taman umamashan v'halalu tamo v'lo mamashan. Or the Gemara gives another suggestion, and that is that when it comes to any other food, the man tastes like any other food, and also has the consistency of any other foods. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to these five that I mentioned over here in Baloscha, so you taste them, but not their consistency. Okay. Kizera Gad Lavan. Now we get into an actual description of the man. So we're going to be bouncing back between Parshas Baloscha, where the Torah there describes the man, and Parshas Beshalach, which we just saw a couple Shabbosim ago, regarding the introduction of the man. So it's Kizera Gad Lavan. So I'm Rabbi Yassi. A lot of Rabbi Yassi and Rabbi Ami today. I'm a Rabbi Yassi, Agul Kid Gida. So it was round, like a Gida. Gida is a kind of seed, right? Coriander, Rashi says, Al Yandri. Okay. Maybe the same. Okay, anyway, it was round. And Valavan Kamargalis, and it was white like a pearl. Tana Rabbanan, okay, we have in the Gemara Tanya Nami Ahachi, but Tana Rabbanan, Gad Shedom Lazara Pishtan Begiv Olim. It looks like the seed of flax in the while it's growing. I should take a field trip. I should see flax growing in the field. We had a couple reference to it recently. Achem omim gad shedom la hagada shemosheches libo shel adam kemayim. Okay, God, meaning again the Torah's description of the man, it's like agadata. Right, well, Agadita, we can all listen to Agadita. Agadita is great. It's literally, it draws the heart. The same thing regarding the man as well. Tanya Edo, another Brisa, Gacha, Megillam, Israel, Eben Teshel Larishon, Ve Eben Shiva, Acharon. It helps establish paternity. You want to know whose child is it? Now, when a woman divorces or she is, well, let's talk now in terms of divorce, because I need both husbands alive. So if a woman divorces, so there's a 3-month waiting period she must wait before she marries again, for the simple reason of establishing paternity. You have to know who the father is. So by 3 months already, you'll know whether she's pregnant or she's not pregnant from her previous husband. And so therefore, we can establish paternity. But the Gemara often describes a woman who doesn't wait the 3-month requisite waiting period, who gets married within 2 months, and has a baby 7 months later. And often is the case where the Gemara discusses, and under such circumstances, we don't know. In other words, it could be that this was a 7th month baby from her new husband, or it was a 9-month baby from the previous husband, and therefore we have a question of paternity. So what do? So we'll do DNA testing. Okay, good. But that's us in our modern world. Okay, what do they do back in the good old days? Okay, they don't know. Right? So what the man did basically was the original DNA test. So what happened was you wake up in the morning and the man comes down for you and your family. So whoever now gets the extra portion of man is now going to be the father. Leben Shema ben Avraham, I'm sorry, ben Achron. Lavan, right? The Torah describes as being white. The Gemara here darshans. Shema ben Avraham shel Yisrael. It whitens the sins of the Jewish people. Whitens here means it illuminates. Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Amar Kishem Shanavi, Haya Magilam Yisrael, Masha Bechor, Masha Betzdakim. Kachaman, Magilam Yisrael, Masha Bechor, Masha Betzdakim. A Navi reveals things as does the man. The Gemara explains. Ketzad. Shem Shabalifne Moshe Ladin, Ze Amar Avdi Ganavte, Ve Ze Amar Atama Chartali. Let's say there's a dispute between two parties, where one person says, you stole my slave. The other person says, what are you talking about? You sold them to me. And we have a he said, regarding a slave. So Amalei Moshe Laboker Mishpat. So Moshe says, "Okay, let's wait till tomorrow morning." Lamachir Nimsa Omro Beveis Rabo Rishon Biyadua Shezeh Ganvo In Nimsa Omro Beveis Rabo Sheni Biyadua Shezeh Machro Lo. So whoever is getting the extra portion of man is going to be the rightful owner of the slave. So the man again settles the dispute. I guess in this, these are issues where it's basically he said, he said. And you'll see another example. So he says she went bad. Right? His claim is, the Gemara doesn't give us much detail, but basically his claim is she's a moredes. She's rebelling. She's no good. And basically what he's trying to do is he's trying to dismiss her without a ksuva. And she says, yeah, it's true. Somebody went bad, but it wasn't me. It was him. And I'm entitled to my ksuva. So again, it really is a financial dispute as he's trying to get rid of her without having to pay her ksuva. So lamachar, now you'll notice that these next lines in parentheses, and I think I know why. Well, let's read it, and you'll see. Im nimsa omeres beveis ba'alah, if the omer is in her husband's house, biyadua shehi sarcha alav. Well, that means that it was she who rebelled. Nimsa omra beveis avia, and if the extra omer is in her father's house, biyadua shehu sarach alah. Well, that means that he rebelled. It's interesting. You could have argued the other way, right? In terms of where the money is found, in terms of finding culpability of which party is in fact in the right and which party is in the wrong. No. This is not. These aren't capital issues. These are all financial issues. I'll tell you what. With the son, with the paternity, that could turn into a capital issue. Right? He hits his father, so then it's a capital crime. Okay. Ksivu v'redes atal al hamachane laila. Well, there's my laila. Okay, that's my illusion for today, 75th day daf of Yuma. So anyway, hamachane laila yaren amana lav. So ksivu yitam laktu. So we have somewhat of a discrepancy in terms of how do you gather it? So one pasuk says that it just fell. Another pasuk says that the nation went out and in order to gather. Uksiv shatu am v'laktu. And we have another description. Again, we keep bouncing between Bishalach and Baloscha. And we have another description where basically it's describing us wandering around looking for the man. So HaKetzad, so the Gemara says, in terms of resolving all these discrepancies, so it's Tzadikim Yared El Pesach Bateim. So if you're a Tzadik, you open the door, man's right there, dropped right at your doorstep. Beinonim Yatsav Alaktu, if you're a Beinoni, so you go out, but you don't have to rummage and scavenge. You scavenge, you'll find it. And Rishayim Shatav Alaktu, and if you're a Rasha, so it means that you had to go scavenge hunting. Ksiv Lechem, Ksivu Gosu, Ksiv Tachanu. Once again, discrepancy in terms of how it's described. As bread, as cake, or you actually have to grind it up and make it into bread. Haketa tzadikim lechem. So if you're a tzadik, it comes just as lechem. Benonim ugos. If you're a benoni, so it turns into uga. I guess it needs some sort of processing. We translate uga as a cake. Okay, maybe our translation is a little bit off. And rishayim tachanu berechayim. And a rasha. So they had to grind it up. Okay, no fun being in Russia. Right? You basically every morning you had to go on a scavenger hunt, and after you find it, you have to make it. Okay, it's hard work being in Russia. Odachu b'meducha. So the Gemara describes how it was pounded in a mortar. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yitem, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chinam, Malami Sheyarad Lahem Yisrael Imaman Tachshite Nashim Davish Nidach b'meducha. Jewelry came down together with the man, because jewelry was processed in a mortar. Don't ask me. I just accept the Gemara for this point.
It translates
nice.
Perfume.
Cosmetics. That's better. Because I'm thinking, right. Okay, good. Okay, I like that. It's better. Ubishla b'paror, it was baked in an oven. Amar Rabbi Chama, Malam Yishar, Elaham Yisrael, Ima Mansike Kedera. Other delicacies came down together with the man. So my baboker, I'm Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmin, I'm Rabbi Yonasan, midavish yared lahem baboker, malam yared lahem liyisrael, avanim tavos marga or margolios in maman. Precious stones came down with the man as well, which is helpful because the as Rashi points out, take a look at the Rashi left hand column. So that's what we offered to the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we offered for the construction of the Mishkan. Rashi says, Avnei Hashom, the two stones that were used at the ephod, on the ephod, connecting the ephod to the choshen. Where do we get the Avnei Shoam from? So the pasuk says the Nesi'im brought it. Now, usually Nasi refers to the leader of a shevet. Not in this context. Tana, or not according to the Brisa. Nesi'im mamash. No, Nesi'im over here means clouds. The clouds brought the stones. V'chenu'am Nesi'im v'ruach v'geshem ayim. Right, the pasuk in Mishle describes clouds. Nasi is a cloud, which, by the way, just a literal translation makes perfect sense. The word linsoa means to carry, so it's something which is lifted above. The cloud is hovering over. Vayotamo kitam lishad hashaman. More discussion about the man. Am Rabbi Abba Masha shade. Not yet. Mashad zetinok toim ba kama ta'amim. Afaman calls manchi. So ochlim asom otzim bo kama ta'amim. Just like when the baby nurses on his mother, so the milk that comes from mom tastes like many tastes. So too, the man also has multiple tastes. Igadami, now the Gemara says another suggestion, and now I'll say it. Lashed mamash. The man is like a demon. Mashed ze metapech lekama gevanim, afaman metapech lekama tamim. Well, the demon takes on many forms, the man also takes on many forms. What happened is that we got in the evening meat, and in the morning we got lechem. We had the man. Tanamish made the Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha Basar Sheshalu Shaloka Hogan, Nitan Lahem Shaloka Hogan. So meat, we inappropriately asked for the meat. Therefore, it was given to us at an inappropriate time. Nighttime is inappropriate. Right? If you take a look at Rashi, top of the next Amud, Ein Hamud Beis. Rashi, Nitan Lahem Kehogen. I'm sorry. A couple of Rashi's down. Shaloka Hogan, Yaron Lahem Im Chashecha. In other words, who's going to eat at night? I know we all end up doing, but the Gemara's assumption is that's not when you eat. That's not when you prepare the food. You prepare it in the morning. So the meat was dropped down at night, a time that was, since we asked inappropriately for meat, it was provided to us at an inappropriate time. The Torah teaches us Derech Eretz Shelo Yochal Adam Basar Ela Belayla. That meat should be eaten at night. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Abaye taught us, right? And this takes us back to the beginning of today's daf. Didn't Abaye taught us that you shouldn't eat at night? So Ke'en Yamama Kamrinan. So the Gemara says, no. It means that you can eat at night. That's not a problem. You have to see the food. So as Rashi points out over here, Be'or ha'avuka. So you got to make sure that if you're going to eat at night, it should be ke'en yamama. You have to see the food. Jewish people, in terms of eating, we were like chickens pecking in the garbage. Meaning, we didn't have any fixed times for eating. So what happened? We went around, we picked up some man, we nibbled. Right, we're totally disorganized. So, Achaba Moshe v'kavlahem zman seuda. Moshe gave us an unbelievable concept. It's called breakfast. It's a schedule for eating. Right. It's the Gemara says, but what it does is it provides organization. We all have now the same time we eat. In other words, we basically turn into human beings, cultured human beings. Habas ordan b'chinem v'kasav adchorish yamim. Back to Parshas Baaloscha. So, complaining for the meat was provided for us. So the Gemara says that the meat was stuck right between their teeth and they died. And then another pasuk says it was in their mouth for a month. Well, did they die instantaneously or did it take a month? Hakeitzad, beinonim la'alter, mesu, rishayim mitzarim v'hochem ad chodesh yamim. So if you're a beinoni, meaning you're just a kvetcher, but not a serious kvetcher, so instantaneous death, Masha Einkein, if you were like real, like a real rabble rouser, so then Yechodesh Yamim, the suffering went along together with the death. Vayishtechu Amar Eish Lakish Al Tikre Vayishtechu Ela Vayishchatu. Right, the Torah describes how they were spread out. Vayishtechu. But what we're going to do, we're going to take the ches and we're test, and we're going to flip them over. So now it turns into Vayishchatu. Where the Gemara here is speaking, obviously, in the context of Drush. They deserved Shechita. So again, Sonem Shal Yisrael, euphemism. The Jews deserved Shechita. Shatuach Tanim Shmeid Rav Yehoshua Ben Karachal Tikre Shatuach Ela Shachot. Malami Sheyar Lahem Liyisrael Imaman Davish Shetan Shechita. So what came down together with man? Things which required Shechita, meaning meat, right? Animals, birds, things that required Shechita. Am Rabbi V'chim Ekanat Alamed V'alok Far Nemar V'yim Tar Lahem Kafar Shar Kechol Of Kanaf. So the Gemara says, what do you need a drush? The Pasuk says Betherish. The Pasuk in Tehillim describes how birds descended together with the man. V'tanya Rabbi Omer V'zavachta Kasher Tzivi Sechem L'amashin Estava Moshe L'aveshet V'alakana V'al Rov Echad Ba'ov V'al Rov Shlaim Be'behema. And birds need Shechita. So, well, I understand, you're taking the word Vayishtechu, you're flipping around the test and the ches to tell us that things came down with the man that require Shechita. Oh, you read the Pasuk in Tehillim, it's clear. And we know birds require Shechita. By the way, discussion in Chulin, whether birds' requirement of Shechita is a din d'oraisa or not a din d'oraisa. And Tosus Yeshanim picks up on this point. Sounds very clear from Agamar that it does require Shechita. Okay, let's say that just as a quick aside. So, Elamata Malama Shatoach Malami She'er Lehem Mashtichim Mashtichim. Layers of bird came down. It wasn't just simply one layer of birds, it was multiple layers of bird. Ksiv lechem, ksiv shemen, uksiv dvash. Once again, the Torah describing the man describes it as bread, as oil, as honey. Am Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Chanin Elanarim, lechem, lezakenim, shemen, latinokas, dvash. So the Gemara says, depends. Young adults, bread. Older men, oil. For kids, tasted like honey. Ksiv Slav, Karin and Slav. Now it's written with a shin, but we know through the Masorah that it's pronounced like a samach, meaning the dot not on the right hand side, on the left hand side, what we call a sin. Fine. But obviously it's significant, the discrepancy between the Kri and the Ksiv. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Tzadikim Ochlem Asav Bishalva. If you're a Tzadik, you eat it in peace. Rishayim Ochlem Asav Adomalam Kisilvin. Now the Rishayim eat the Slav, but it's like thorns. Amar Rebbe Chanan Baraba Dal Mine Slav Hain. Ve'elohain. Now, in terms of Slav, so there are four different species. Shichli, Kibli, Pisione, Vislav. Okay, the four different types of Slav. Pisione, I get excited because, again, in the high school we're doing Kedushin, and the Gemara says that you want to really honor your father, so you give him Pisione. Apparently, it's a very nice type of Slav. So ma'alya dekulu shichli. Now, contrary to what I just told you, the Gemara says the number one of these four is shichli. Okay, if I'm guessing, I'd put pisuni right behind it. But what do I know? Okay, read the rankings. So gari dekulu slav, and slav is the lowest grade of them all. V'havikitzi parta. The Gemara says it's like a bird. I mean, it's not obviously when the Gemara is saying it's like a bird. Meaning it's obviously referring to a certain type of bird. Don't ask me, I don't know. Umosvina la bitanura. So you put it in an oven, we find this by duck. Right? The duck is a very fatty bird. And what happens is the oil just drips. Vitafach la have male tanura. It basically, it's so oily it inflates. The oven, it fills the oven. Umaskin la atlesa rife. And you can put on top of 13 loaves of bread, and the last loaf, the bottom loaf, is so oily from the drippings that bread can't be eaten by itself. The Gemara says it has to be eaten in a tarovis. We'll do a little bit more for this morning, and we will continue tomorrow. Rabbi Yehuda Mishtakech Le Beidani. Now the Gemara says, now Slav finds its way historically throughout the ages. The Gemara here describes how Amoraim found Slav, and Rashi says Beferush. It came right from Shemayim. Right? Rashi, Mishtakech Le, top of the left-hand column of Rashi, Hayu Nimtzal Slav Bein Chaviosav. He found right. Various Amoraim found slav amongst the barrels. Shayu mamtsim lo min hashamayim. Rashi says it. So the Gemara says mishtaklech beidani Rav Chista. I'm sorry, beidani. So Rav Yehuda, who was a Talmud of Rav, so he's the early generation Amora. So he found the slav amongst his barrels. Rav Chista mishtaklech le beit sivi. Rav Chista found it in his woodshed. Rabba ma'isile arise kol yuma. Rava would have his sharecropper actually bring the slav to him. Yumachal lo aisi. Now, one day the sharecropper didn't come with the slav. Amar mai hai. So he said, "What's going on?" Salik leigra. He goes to the roof. Right? You go, the Gemara often describes how when you're depressed, the person goes up. He ascends. He goes up to the rooftop. Shamli inukat dekamer shamati b'tirgas bitni. Now, a child was quoting a pasuk, and as we know, that's a form of nevuah. And the child quoting the pasuk says, "Shamati v'tirkas bitni." I heard, and my stomach trembled. Amar shamamina nach nafshei de Rav Chista. So Rava says, "I know exactly what happened. Rav Chista died, and Rav Chista was the Rebbe of Rava. By the way, you see the Mesora. Rav Chista was a student of Rav. Rav Chista, Rava. Ubado Rava achil." I'm sorry. Achel Tamida, and once the Rebbe's gone, so the only reason why I ate the student date was on account of the Rebbe. But the Rebbe's no longer there. Rav Chista's no longer there, and Rava says, and therefore I don't have any more slav to eat. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. A continuation tomorrow of the description of the man. Okay, wonderful treat. Today's daf. Tomorrow's daf. Okay, pick it up tomorrow.